Welcome to Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Good morning, Sandy. It's Monday and time for Chasing the Word here on Compassion Radio.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Spending time together face-to-face, it's important. It's healthy for us emotionally, spiritually, in this kind of bubble. We spend more time, of course, face-to-face than we normally would have because we are not doing all the things that we normally do, getting out of the house more. We are, like most of America and most of the world right now, kind of focused in on each other.
Yeah.
Something I've noticed in this past week, though, I need to remind myself to actually make eye contact with you. The same space. We get so used to being in the same area that you just don't look at each other anymore. And it tells me that the stress is building up.
Well, I would agree on that. I know in seasons past, even when we've been at odds with each other, it's hard to look at each other in the face because you don't want to admit that you're not happy with this person or that you're just ignoring them in some way. So yeah, that's a good reminder for me too.
So I'd encourage our listeners, think about that. How is stress building up in your life in ways that diminish connection with others? Because there are people that are around you. Some, of course, may be living alone, and therefore it's hard to actually spend face time. Other folks are just crammed together in a small space and wish they could get away. Whatever that situation, though, take account today. Ask the Lord to show you, is there anything in me right now that's welling up with anxiety and not with your peace? I would say start there. There are seasons for these things, and we started this whole series at the beginning of Ecclesiastes focusing on those very famous passages, especially from chapter 3.
Right.
I just want to hearken back to that for 1 second. Back at chapter 3, in this new translation we've been working on, we say there's a season to weep and to weep with, a season to laugh with and to laugh about, a season to mourn within or wail without, a season to dance or to enjoy the dance of others. There's also a season to cast aside stones or to throw them with purpose, a season to gather them up for another round, a season to hug tight and not let go, and a season to let go and long for the next embrace. There's quite a contrast there, but all these things, if you think about them together, these opposites, they make life richer.
Yeah.
As Shakespeare would say, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Right.
Sometimes getting some absence from each other makes the heart grow fonder, or at least more sane.
Well, and that's why I'm grateful there are rooms in our home that we can retreat to at times when we need to for that solitude and that time alone and away from each other. And it helps to walk outside, sit on the front porch, or take a walk down the driveway. And I know that others don't have that luxury that we have, being able to get out of the country as easily as it is for us. But I do encourage others to just step outside their homes for a time. I know that there are parts of the country that it's getting rather cold right now.
Yeah. We have made an effort to see as many sunsets as possible.
That's true.
Run, grab our phones, get some pictures of the sunset, and walk down the driveway together. Mm. Well, friends, this Monday series is about letting God look us in the face.
And I like that.
If you have avoided that for this past week or haven't really thought much about it, think about it now. This time spent with the Lord is supposed to be together in fellowship, maybe you with somebody else reading the word together at another time away from this broadcast, but to make an effort to let God look at you and make an effort to look God in the face.
Yeah.
So let's do that in chapter 10 today.
All right. We're going to start in chapter 10 reading from the Holman Christian Standard. Dead flies make a perfumer's oil ferment and stink. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart goes to the right, but a fool's heart to the left. Even when the fool walks along the road, his heart lacks sense, and he shows everyone he is a fool. If the ruler's anger rises against you, don't leave your place, for calmness puts great offenses to rest. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, an error proceeding from the presence of the ruler. The fool is appointed to great heights, but the rich remain in lowly positions. I have seen slaves on horseback, but princes walking on the ground like slaves. The one who digs a pit may fall into it, and the one who breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. The one who quarries stones may be hurt by them if they fall. The one who splits trees may be endangered by them. If the axe is dull, and one does not sharpen its edge, then one must exert more strength. However, the advantage of wisdom is that it brings success.
We're back to the wisdom literature where the king's just spouting off all these aphorisms, these truths.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like reading in Proverbs again.
Again. And when it comes to these wisdom literatures, it seems like that's kind of the default position for the king.
He's right.
You fall back into what's familiar to you, to say things that are pithy, that are wise, that are memorable.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure these things actually happen chronologically. You know, this book is not assembled in such a way that we say, oh, this is the journal of the king.
Right.
They are episodes. They are chapters. So now we can see him receding from his walk, his confusion of seeing the world as it really is and how it competes with his wish for things to be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's back on his throne, just thinking the comforting thoughts of the wisdom that God gave him when he was young.
Right.
So in some ways, I see this almost as a regression back to the younger self. Maybe it was easy for him to think those thoughts because they were old thoughts. Maybe these are things that he thought up when he was young.
Mm-hmm. Wants to make sure that they are written down and the things that he knows God revealed to him are heard. Yeah.
Now, when you have people writing these things down, not every single word would have been captured. You know, we think about that with Jesus. We wish we would have every single word he ever said.
Yeah.
And it is his inflection, hear his voice or recording, something like that in our day and time would be so meaningful to us because we could know the man. We don't.
Right.
God chose for some reason to limit our ability to see so that we would, I guess, dig deeper and learn to see him as he reveals himself as we're reading.
Well, I think that's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Indeed.
And if we had every single word that Jesus spoke, maybe we wouldn't feel the need to depend on the Holy Spirit as much to reveal to us the truths of God in a deeper way.
And we also want to let him reveal what he intended, not just how it is in the context of our time. So I want to jump back to the very beginning of this chapter. We read verse 2 of chapter 10, and it reads politically because of the way we read things like right and left. So go ahead and read that verse again for us.
A wise man's heart goes to the right, but a fool's heart to the left.
Now, anybody who's thinking politically in these days,
which is easy to do right now,
would read that as being a political statement because it sounds like one. We think about certain political ideologies being identified as right or left.
Well, and in our time, it makes sense because that's our context. We tend to read things in light of the way our world is right now.
Precisely the point. In the context of our time, we make that our filter for what God's saying. Exactly backwards.
Yeah.
We have to remind ourselves that God has a context, and so does the king writing these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ours. So our responsibility is not to read it from the lens of our preferences or our culture or our current definitions of what right and left mean. But to look at what God meant by letting the king say these things. Mm-hmm. You and I have seen this as we've traveled around the world. Even today, over thousands of years, there is a certain kind of preference for things that have to do with the right hand versus the left hand. Even little hints of that in our culture about left-handedness being kind of shifty and not trustworthy. It goes back to a time when you did honorable things with one hand, but not with the other. And honorable being dirty. So, for example, you would cook with, you would shake your neighbor's hand, you would strike bargains with your right hand. So even if you were born left-handed, you would have to learn to use your right hand for all these important functions.
Right.
The left hand was used for things that were, shall we say, a little less clean.
Yes.
You know, we didn't have hygiene like we have it today with our bathrooms and toilet paper and things. So your left hand had to take care of business and keep your body clean. And you were trained to do that. That's been the history of mankind for thousands of years. That's why the left hand is considered
unclean. Well, I remember even in my college years, having gone to Africa with the Jesus Project, we were out in the bush showing the film, and we were told very strongly by the national missionaries, do not ever touch a villager, do not ever touch a national with your left hand.
Yeah, don't reach out and grab
them. Do it. At first, I thought, well, that's easy. I'm right-handed. No big deal. But it's not someone who has physical touch as one of their love languages and loves to touch and hold and hang on and, you know, and hug people. It was an exercise in discipline for me.
Yeah, it was.
You know, so that's the context that we're reading this in, more so than a political statement. It is
absolutely
the context of worthy and unworthy, clean and unclean.
Right.
We need to realize that when we're reading this.
We don't mean to leave the impression that the left hand was never used for touching anybody. But it's like Jesus talking about being ceremonially clean.
Right.
When he told Peter, you don't need to have a whole bath right now. It is sufficient for you to simply ceremonially clean your feet. And that's what I'm going to do now is wash your feet for that reason, to make you clean ceremonially for the work you've got to do next, the work that I've got to do next. When he did that, he was now clean and could be touched. and could go places that were holy. Mm-hmm. When you embraced somebody, especially someone you love, your left hand was not unclean, but you would lead with your right.
Yes.
You'd lean in and touch with your right. And then if you received a full embrace, both your arms would then bring someone in for an embrace.
Right.
At that point, the ceremonially clean hand has covered the other, and your whole person is now clean mm-hmm. for the purpose of the affection mm-hmm. and the love.
You know, there's so many things about ancient history, biblical history or cultural history that we just don't know, or I just don't know, that are so important in my interpretation of the scripture, in reading what God is saying in his word. I just think it's really important to learn what those things are, the culture of the time that the scripture was written.
And it is Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Thank you, friends, for standing with Compassion Radio during these times of great change to our normal life. Of course, there's nothing normal about our situation, but there's also nothing normal about the kind of faith and power we find in Jesus. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. And now, back to our discussion.
You know, there's so many things about ancient history, biblical history or cultural history that we just don't know, or I just don't know, that are so important in my interpretation of the scripture, in reading what God is saying in his word. I just think it's really important to learn what those things are, the culture of the time that the scripture was written.
And it is technically trivia, but it's not trivial. These nuggets of knowledge are helpful, very helpful for us to not depend upon our own context, our own perspective, and assume that God wrote it for me in my culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important that we capture that.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think that one verse is something we need to camp on a little bit and analyze. We need desperately in times like this not to be projecting on God what he's saying.
That's true. When I'm reading and I think, what's the reason for that? Why is the scripture written that way? It prompts me to dig a little deeper and look into the culture, maybe look it up online and just see what was the culture reference here. That's been a good practice for me to kind of learn a little bit about the time that scripture was written.
The difference between exegesis and eisegesis. Basically, what exegesis means is dig in there for what's there.
Mm-hmm.
Eisegesis means pushing in things that are not.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, reading into things you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's the general concept. So we had to be very careful that we are allowing God to help us mine properly and find the real gold and not inject fool's gold into it.
That's a good way to put it.
Let's read from the modern version of the scriptures that we've been working on together. That's part of our Bible study guide that's available on our website every week. So in the podcast section of our website, we'll always have an introduction and a current chapter synopsis of the content to be found there and a modern version that we've been working on of that chapter. So you're welcome to pick that up any week.
I'd love to hear from you, too, if you're downloading these Bible studies and readings and just get your input on those. We'd be really pleased to hear that.
Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. Dead flies in the ointment stink and spoil the whole batch. Even a little bit of stupidity mixed in with real wisdom does the same thing. The heart of the wise leans to the right. The fool's heart leans away from what's right. As the fool goes about his business, he continuously reveals what a fool he is. His actions speak even louder than his words. If the spirit of justice rises up to pursue you, stay put and don't run. Perhaps she will have mercy, heal your sins, even the great ones, and give you rest. Something horrible I've seen with my own eyes, and there's great evil in it. A ruler who abuses his authority and lies boldly. Here's another. When a fool rises to great heights of power, and the one rich in wisdom sits in the corner, ignored. I've seen the servants of kings riding the horses of the defeated, while the conquered princes straggle along behind them. Constantly dig traps for others, and you're bound to fall in one of your own making. Stick your hand in the snake pit, and you're sure to get bit. One hauling too heavy a load is sure to be crushed by it. One splitting too large a timber may well get flattened. Don't get stuck with a blunt sword. Honing to a killer sharp edge takes time and effort, but saves the warrior. Wisdom brings success in the same way.
I really like how verse 10 is stated there. Don't get stuck with a blunt sword. That reminds me that it's important to study the Word of God, because the Word is often referred to as a sword. We do sword drills. That's a really good way to look at it. It's don't get caught with a blunt sword.
Yeah.
Sharpen it. Get in there and know the Word of God. Have it present in your mind and in your memory so that you can call on it when you need it. So when it's sharp and ready to go for battle.
We see the word sharp. It's considered a good thing. You know, stay sharp.
Yes.
Don't be a dullard. Dull is considered bad because its utility is low.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the left side of the good, like we talked about earlier.
Right. It's a good reminder for me. Yeah. Be sharp in the word. Sharpen that sword and keep it ready for battle. That does take effort, for sure, but it is well worth it. And again, we talk about the wisdom verses here. We're going back to the wisdom literature where the king is reiterating those things that he may have learned at a young age. Be careful when you're carrying a load that it's not too heavy so it doesn't crush you. And obviously stay away from a snake pit so you don't get bit, and things like that that are really smart.
Like in our part of Texas, you know, you go out there and you do some bushwhacking, big weeding on fields that have gotten out of hand. Wear long pants.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be snakes out there. You just do the common sense things. Mm-hmm. The stuff that a dad would teach his young son so he doesn't get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You teach the right things so that the one learning would gain wisdom so that he does not gain injury instead.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We talk about that in the springtime here, especially in Texas when the snakes are waking up.
Yeah.
And the wildflowers are beautiful, and everyone wants to take their picture in the wildflower. So many times people are bitten by snakes because they're not careful.
So take your snake stick.
Take your snake stick, yes. Okay. I also like how verse 4 is worded. If the spirit of justice rises up to pursue you, stay put and don't run. Perhaps she will have mercy, heal your sins, even the great ones, and give you rest.
That was a tough verse to translate.
Yeah, I just think that's such a great way to look at it. There's often times when we feel the conviction in our hearts of sin in our life.
I'm caught.
Yeah, and we want to get away from that. We want to run. We want to, you know, hide in those times of conviction. And this is an encouragement to sit still and let justice pour mercy on you. I think that's a great way to look at that.
Well, to wrap up the first half of chapter 10, it seems again like the king is regressing into his earlier self or remembering days gone past and then reiterating his wisdom, the aphorisms that he committed to memory while he was thinking these thoughts is what it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
It could be new ones. We don't know.
Right.
But it sure seems like an old man remembering what it was like to discover these truths and put them into phrases that were memorable.
Yeah.
And because of that, he wants to offer it as a gift to the next generation. So every time I see him woe and moan over there's no good in this world today and who's going to inherit all my kingdom and all my good stuff.
Which there is a lot of that in this book.
He still seemed to have a shred of hope that at least he can offer something that will stand the test of time. Of course it has. We're sitting here thousands of years later reading his very words and God made sure that we read them. I think that's pretty amazing that God knows, in spite of our attitude in the moment, if we'll be obedient and do the thing that God's called us to do, even if we have failed miserably in so many areas of life, that to do the right thing and to tell the truth has lasting power.
Yeah.
So even the one who has been known as a liar or a cheater, like a Jacob in the history of the Bible, can be transformed into something that is completely eternal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no longer the cheat. Now the founder of nations,
the
one blessed by God and called out. So there are things about us that if we simply let them be prophetic, to proclaim over us what will be forever, doesn't give God room to transform. So even after Solomon's long gone, even if we're able to look back and say, well, here are the good things about his life, here are the good things about his teaching, And here are the weird things or the things that were corrupt. Mm-hmm. And we can put them all on the table and still look at all of that and say, praise God that this man lived.
Right.
Yeah. And that we have the benefit of the wisdom, not of his making, but that of God's blessing and willingness to use Solomon to bring it to us.
Yeah.
And that gives me hope for my life that as little as I know or as little wisdom as I have, as corrupt as I've been in my life and done the things I've done and the things that I've had to confess to him over my life, mm-hmm. in spite of all those things and because of them, God is pleased to use me and to bless yeah. the work of my hands if I will continue to submit to him. Mm-hmm. That's a universal promise. That's God's promise to us right now. Are we willing to say yes to him even when we know we were caught, mm-hmm. especially when we know we've been caught? Mm-hmm. Because God proves himself, and he's shown that in my life, to be gentle and kind, like a good father. Mm-hmm. He's mm-hmm. not out to destroy us,
yeah.
especially in times when it seems like the world is conspiring against us. And there are plenty of people that feel that way right now because of how things are going south with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we know we are called to a kind of faith that perseveres, and yet we don't perhaps feel it, so we're torn.
Yeah.
If we are in that place, I would say fall back on places like this in chapter 10, where the truth comes shining forth again from an old man looking back on his youth, seeing the scope of history, not just the moment we're stuck in right now, but how God has always been faithful and always mm-hmm. been truth-telling and always been sustaining. He didn't end mankind. In fact, he preserved it through the ark, and he has never extinguished us. He's not about to today. Mm-hmm. And yet, he does acknowledge that there is suffering, and there's going to be more of that, and it requires courage and compassion and grief.
Yeah.
All those things are going to be true as long as God allows the situations that we're in right now to be present. We need to be prayerful and mindful, but hopeful, mm-hmm. based upon the testimony of Scripture. He has always been there. He's here now. He's going to be here tomorrow.
I love that. I love that truth from the Scripture, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
There's more encouraging stuff coming up this week on Compassion Radio, of course. And we'll see you next Monday for the second half of Chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes on our Chasing the Word broadcast. Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. If God has enabled you to support His kingdom purposes, please give generously where you hear God's word preached, celebrated, and lived. We need you, and we thank you for everything that you do and every prayer you offer on our behalf. Let us know you're standing with us and that you're chasing the word together with us. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And you can find us 24/7 at our website, compassionradio.com.